Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about scents and smells.
It's coming out in Barbie week.
Is it?
Wait, when does Barbie come out?
The 14th? I think it's the 21st.
Okay, never mind. JK.
If that movie doesn't just fucking come out already.
Dude, that,
I'm tired.
This movie has been edging for so long.
And listen, I am very much Team Barbie, but I've been Team Barbie, okay?
Yeah.
It's always been
It's a very online thing, I think. The Barbie, the Barbenheimer. The Barbie.
Barbenheimer.
The Barbenheimer.
I honestly thought that people were going to be sort of tired of it all by the time the movie came out, because everyone started talking about, like, Barbie court, like, spring of 2022. And I was like, guys, we got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Let's hold off for a minute. But it has only gotten bigger, which I'm happy about. Obviously,
I'm neutral about it.
I mean, I'm happy.
That people are happy.
Yeah. Pink is very much my thing. Yes. But it's also like, okay, can we not make this like a trend, please? Because this is just a way of life for some of us. So...
My lifestyle is not your problem.
My culture is not a costume. Nethead. I got to give it up to Net, because now that literally every brand under the sun is doing a Barbie collab.
Dude.
Net did the two prior to all this. So shout out to Net.
Wait, which ones did they do?
They did a Barbie candle maybe 18 months ago. And then maybe 6 months ago, they did another one, which I actually like more. They're both really nice. Okay. And they're in those like little stone vessels, and one's very pale pink and one's a richer pink. Both are great. The second one's better.
Okay. Okay.
Shout out to Barbie.
Net Barbie. We got it.
Yeah.
I remember her little, she had like a little white fluffy dog that when I was a kid, I was like, I want that dog.
Oh,
Barbie. It was all about the dog. Yeah.
Barbie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a Samoyed. One of those like really white, big, fluffy dogs.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. I was obsessed with that Barbie dog.
Well, I was obsessed with Barbie, so there you go. I mean, as I sit here and like talking into my pink microphone with my pink headphones, with my pink lip balm next to me and my pink phone, like, here we are.
I think I need to get a new phone. And then I was like, ooh, they have pink now.
Mine's not pink, but.
They have like a light pink.
Do they?
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. But I don't want to give up the size because I have the mini.
Yeah.
I don't want to get the bigger one.
I want my phone to be as big as a fucking flat screen. I do not care.
I have small hands. Every day I pick this up and fumble it.
Oh, I mean, my phone is far too big for my hands.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Just the idea of like, this isn't going to fit in my pocket. This isn't half of my, I've become a small purse girl now. Like, this doesn't fit in my purse.
Right. That's why every text of mine is a fucking page long, because I can see it all on my screen. Every time I whip my phone out to text Sable, it becomes like the Old Testament.
The mom font size.
Oh my God. Right. Literally. I do not have the drunk aunt font size yet. But my father does, which I always drag him for. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You are a small purse girl now.
I'm a small purse
Does
girl
your
now.
Coach bag count as a small purse?
It's so small.
Is it?
So small.
Okay. Have you seen my coach bag? The pink jelly one?
Yes.
That one is the perfect. I feel like it's like that size.
Yeah.
But there's probably less to it because it's plastic.
Mm.
Save the earth, kids.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just reverting back to my teenage self. I feel like I said this an episode ago or something. That's but fine. The style, the aesthetic. This is what my 14-year-old self would have thought was, like, so cool.
Sable bought this coach purse, so then I, like, looked it up, and then I have started getting ads for, like, the same collection.
But relentless. Their targeted marketing is relentless.
There's this one, and I kind of can't believe they put it into production and put it out, because I'm not sure, like, we know what it's for, but it's this. I mean, we talk about tiny purses.
It's a micro purse.
It is literally the size of an AirPod.
It's an AirPod case.
With a crossbody strap. And I'm just like, I don't know why, but I want that so bad.
You know what? I did fall for that once with Kara.
Yeah,
Kara made a micro satchel. Yeah. And I think in the photo, it looked big enough to hold, I don't know, like my phone or my wallet. Nope. I was wrong. I like sold it. I think I wore it just because I was like, well, I bought this. I have to wear this. Yeah. And then I was like, this is so stupid. Right. So then I sold it on Poshmark or something.
The one I want is like more strap than it is bag.
They are. That's literally what they are. This is truly the most fashion trap thing.
Right.
Fashion victim thing. The micro purse.
Anyway, Coach, sponsor this podcast. You fucking work with everyone else on the planet.
They do, don't they?
You know.
Yeah, I'd take another coach bag.
I'd take a coach check.
I would take a coach check more than a coach bag, for sure. Yeah,
it is crazy to see how Coach has really come back into the conversation. And
yeah,
like, Fashion Week campaign, like, they will not go away.
Did they get a new creative director or something? They had to. I think so. Yeah, because they like started getting cool suddenly, and I was like, what?
Well, it's funny because it took the collections about 2 years to catch up to the faces that they were using, because it was like Megan Thee Stallion and like Jennifer Lopez, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool, but the shit is still not cool. And now, like, the product is catching up with the sort of cultural cachet that they're building. We talk about Coach all the time at work.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Just how they show up in culture and like how they're always blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's very like agency talk, I know, but like
very B2B.
It's very that. But listen, it's working.
Yeah. I remember going to a Coach fragrance event in 2017. Mm-hmm. It was on the High Line, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
James Franco was the face of their new cologne.
Oh, you told me about
that. So this, I was supposed to interview him at that event. He was like an hour late for the press time. Everybody got maybe like 10 minutes, maybe 15 if you were lucky with him, which honestly was way too long to speak to James Franco, because the man did not have a thought to share.
Was he high?
So high. Or maybe that's just how he is. Sure. I don't know. I've never met the man before.
Sure.
He had like a handler with him named Stuart. I remember, because Stuart was very chatty, and I was asking him like really, really simple questions about his like grooming routine, and he like was like, I don't know, what moisturizer do I use, Stuart? And Stuart's like,
God,
sweating at me trying to save this interview.
That's so funny.
Even though I'm like, you don't give a shit, this is for Allure. He doesn't care about being in Allure.
Right. Why is the High Line a trap for fragrance activations?
I don't know.
Oh, tourists.
Tourists. Yeah. It's like an outdoor space. The Gansevoort is a big one.
Yeah.
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 That square or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I will say that one time, probably 2 years ago, I mean, this is irrelevant, but like we were finally sort of getting out of COVID, like phase 3B, and Victoria's Secret invited me to one of their activations on the High Line, and my office is right off of it, but it was pretty far down, and I was just like, I'm not fucking going to like an open air activation, and it was just like a little bitch about it. And then I had to walk down that way anyway to go to some dinner or whatever, and I ended up walking through it, and they fucking gagged me. That thing was so cool. It was just like, you know where the High Line has that built, like it goes through a building, so it's covered. They essentially just like made it pretty and cool and weird, and like a bunch of mirrors, a bunch of flowers. They turned it out, and I was like, okay, well, I'm the clown now, except I'm in there, and I sort of got turned around, and it was all these like funhouse mirrors and gigantic photos of Camila Cabello. And I was like in this weird sort of like fantasy. I was like, someone get me out of here, I don't know which way is
up. Fragrance, what do you call them, activations?
Yeah,
I hate that they're called activations.
I know.
Who thought of that
term? We sound so fucking stupid.
I know. Basically, when a brand has a brand activation, it's an Instagram photo op moment.
Yeah.
Where you can either interact with a thing or just like take a selfie in front of it. Mm-hmm. But they call it an activation. Sure. They activate you to support their brand.
Yeah, exactly. They activate.
But every fragrance one I've been to has been so weird.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have been that cool. The only one that I thought looked kind of cool but I didn't go to, Axe had one that I saw on Harry Hill's Instagram story.
Oh.
But they didn't tell you it was Axe. You were just invited to some event, and then they revealed the brand when you got there. But I think it was kind of like a mystery thing where you would smell. They're like, in this box, we have this. I don't know. You just basically like smell a hole in a box, which sounds so scary.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the maze or the labyrinth, they reveal it's an Axe party, which is pretty cool.
I would have been so pissed off.
Yeah.
And listen, to be clear, I would have gone to the Axe party knowing it was Axe.
Yeah, like, that's for funny. Sure, for sure.
But if you would have clowned me into going,
I think that was the point where they're like, you can't believe it's Axe.
That's
like,
pretty funny, though.
Like, okay, I get it. I get why you do that. But
yeah.
Other ones, like, I don't know, the Mugler Angel Elixir one that I went to in Herald Square was kind of nothing.
I can't believe you went to that.
I can't believe I went to that either. I got got.
You got got.
I got got. I thought I was at least going to get like a little swag bag, but they're like, nope. Goodbye.
The Prada one keeps following me around. I did go to it the one time, and then it was on the beach when I was at Basel in Miami, and then there was like one other random place, and I was like, what? But again,
it kind of like, it just like makes me wonder how much, I mean, obviously they do have so much money, but why is that? How do you gauge like the ROI on, let's put a huge bottle of our perfume in this public place? Like, what, how does that,
it's just all posting.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
What do they call those?
Impressions.
We got 3 billion impressions from our Prada pop-up.
I mean, they would.
Yeah.
That's what our entire world today is, just what you are what you post.
Honest to God.
Are you on Threads?
Okay. Don't fucking clown me on my own podcast. I'm only on Threads because
I didn't... No judgment. I'm just curious.
I only... Because I held out on TikTok for so long. And then when I finally was like, all right, let me just like get my handle so no one does. Someone already fucking took it and was using my photo. And so...
On Threads?
No, on TikTok. Oh, so when Threads happened, I was like, let me just get this fucking handle so no one does this shit again.
And they're using your photo? That's insane.
But they weren't posting content. So I got TikTok to take it down. Okay. I think I've said this before. Yeah. But now they won't give it to me. I'm like, no, but I am me. Like, here's my social. Weird. Yeah, anyway. So I opened Threads once and I was like, this is not for me. Like, I know Twitter's demonic, but I know the demons there. You know what I mean?
I mean, I see the point. It's like strictly... Mark Zuckerberg saw an opportunity, took it, and it's going to pay off for him. But I just don't see the point, personally.
He's going to be the president in 12 years.
Oh, my God.
Derogatory.
I honestly would not be surprised.
That's terrifying.
We put an orange man.
Literally.
In the White House, so.
Careful with that we.
We, the American public. Yeah. And look at it now. It's just clownery. It's all clownery. But the poor social media managers who now have to, like, learn a whole new thing. Like, damn, I feel the most for them, honestly.
Yeah,
nobody even looks at my Twitter, so it's like, what is the point of having threads?
Your Twitter's funny and people do.
Yeah, I think I'm funny, but like optically speaking, it's like two people see my tweets and I don't really care. But at the same time, I'm like, honestly, I think if my Twitter did pop off, it would trap me into feeling more compelled to tweet more, which I don't think is a good idea.
Honestly, God,
the more I tweet, the worse things are.
I post less than ever.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Every time I post, I lose like 30 to 50 followers. So part of me is like, I'm incentivized not to post, honestly. I'm not kidding. I think a lot of people just see a post from me, then they're like, oh, her? I still follow her? I don't blame them. That's fine.
That's fine.
A lot of them are just bots who are like, you want to see more photos? I'm like, no, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I've seen enough.
Yeah, I've seen enough.
I was at a dinner on Tuesday night. At this whatever nice place, and for dessert we got pistachio gelato.
Ooh.
Which was fucking great.
Oh my god.
Oh,
I need to know where it is.
It's Cucina Alba.
What?
It's in the Lantern Building at the end of the High Line. Okay. Speaking of the High Line, the sponsor of this podcast. And not at the end, but like in the middle of it.
I don't know where fancy places
it's
are.
On like 18th. It's very new.
Okay.
But the gelato is from whatever place in Chelsea Market.
Oh.
So one, we should go. Two, it was so good. Ooh. Three, the next day I was like, I gotta break that Cali back out.
Okay.
Pistachio gelato. Yeah. And I said that I loved it, but I wish it was a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But then, since you keep telling me not to fucking tap my wrists, spraying a little bit more. So I've been doing like my chest and a spray on each wrist, and it feels bad. I don't like it. But that made, I'm not going to say it made the fragrance last more, because I don't think that's correlation, is not causation, but I could smell it more all day because I had more of it on me, and I was like, oh, I cracked the code with this one. Okay, so that is one that I will be going back to more now because I know how to wear it and I understand it more. So shout out to gelato.
I encourage everyone to spray one more than they normally spray.
I have been
and they will be delighted with the rest of their day, olfactorily speaking.
Whether I liked it or not, like, people in the fucking, I don't know, industry have started thinking me as like the fragrance guy, and I'm like, well, I might as well start smelling like it then.
Yeah, that's true. You're not very smelly in general. Unless you're like in your radius.
Yeah.
Direct radius.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But maybe times are changing.
Yeah. Depending on what fragrance I wear, it'll leave a trail.
I feel like for as big as fragrance is right now, and like fucking editorial and social, forgive me, I feel like nothing's coming out. Which is fine.
I just got a new Lancôme.
Yeah, I got pitched that.
La Vie est Belle Iris Absolue.
How is it?
It's actually nice.
Is it?
However, it does smell a bit like it copied YSL Libre's homework. With just like a little bit more powdery muskiness from Iris. It's like more Iris forward. I feel like I've definitely smelled the original. Oh, it's in my closet. You'll see the bottle. It's right in front of your face. It's got a silly little neckerchief. Why do they put these little handkerchiefs on bottles? What's that supposed to be? Are you looking for a blotter?
Yeah.
Oh, they're on my desk.
Sorry, I'm just like trolling around Sable's apartment like a little rat. So I got pitched this too, and it did interest me because of the iris of it all, but I don't know. All respect to whoever the fuck, but the Lancôme and everything is just a little counter to me, like a little fragrance counter.
It's incredibly different. Like, I feel like Lancome fragrances are like the last bastion of department store counter fragrance.
And honestly, to all respect, I know that like people love them and everything. It's just, it's fully not something that I, you know, it's not me, and that's fine.
I remember Lancome Miracle. It like dominated my high school years just because it was every gift with purchase. My mom had a bottle. I had the little splash bottles. It smelled very grown up to me.
Oh, this is so pretty.
It's really pretty, right?
Do you get iris from it?
Not really. I feel it's like iris as interpreted by the commercial fragrance industry.
I get almost like taffy.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I get that perfume counter smell, you know?
But like of today, of like this very second.
Yes. It still smells so commercially department store counter to me, but it's like a little bit more subdued and pretty.
I want to see something. Sorry.
Oh, it's also right in the, it should be in the front. Yeah. So it does smell a lot like Paradox as well.
What did you say? Libra?
YSL Libra. And yeah, a bit like
Paradox. I'm getting more Paradox from it. Luckily, we have them both right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to smell so crazy when I leave this apartment. This smells like Paradox on a blotter smells like Grape Kool-Aid.
Really?
In a really nice way, actually. Why can't you pick that? <I know. laughs> So yeah, they're not dissimilar.
No. Oh, they're definitely like friends.
Oh yeah.
They're in the same book club or something. I don't know.
So what is the original of this smell like? Do we know?
Fragrantica says the original Lancome La Vie Belle is a fruity floral gourmand, which I'm like, pick a side. Pick a fucking side. And this is more of a warm floral, but the... There's so many of these La Vie Ebels, by the way.
Yeah.
So very many. Okay. The original, a floral fruity gourmand, launched in 2012.
Okay.
And this one, it is also billed as a floral fruity gourmand, according to Fragrantica, which I'm pretty sure copy-pastes from the websites, but who knows?
I mean, I think you're right.
What makes it different? The green and juicy accents of fig accord and black currant. Do you say black currant or black currant?
I say black currant, but I do not know what's right, so.
I feel like currant makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, the green and juicy accents of fig accord and black currant blend with jasmine sambac, again with the jasmine sambac, and a powerful trail of iris, 10 times more concentrated, enhanced by deep notes of patchouli and a gourmand accord. Cool. I mean, it's very pretty. Most of the Fragrantica comments for this one are like, this is so much better than the original. This is the best flanker. And I'm just going to take your word for it because I'm not going down this journey.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is nice. But again, I'm like, smells like Libra, smells like Paradox. Mm-hmm. I truly wonder, I don't know which fragrance house made which, but I'm like, are they benchmarking these things? Mm-hmm. Probably.
You know what's funny?
Like, how can you not smell this, like the mods, and be like, this smells just like this one?
I think that's the point.
Okay, I guess.
You know, I think also, random outlier, but Philosophy, Amazing Grace, Eau de Parfum, Intense.
Ooh, I have not smelled that.
Neither have I, which is funny because I worked on it for a year and a half. But or maybe I have, but it was so long ago. Anyway, is also very that it's a fruity floral gourmand, which is very much not what they do. But I want to smell it and just like...
I mean, it's really pretty. I might wear it out.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous.
But I always feel like an imposter when I wear these very feminine TM scents, you know? I don't know. I just like don't feel like me.
You can wear whatever you want.
I know. But I'm like, I smell like a perfume girl.
Yeah.
Which I am, but also, no, I'm not. But also, don't look at me.
But you like Paradox so much.
I do like Paradox. Something about Paradox is a little brighter. It almost has more kinetic energy about it that I like, that feels more exciting to me.
Oh, I love that. I told you Julia fell in love with this, right?
It's so good.
Yeah, I got her a bottle.
A couple people actually DM'd me after we talked about it a few weeks ago, and they were like, actually, this is really nice.
It's really nice.
So
Prada does really good scents. I mean, for a big-ass fragrance counter house like that, I mean, Prada and Burberry really know what they're doing when it comes to all that.
Yes.
You know?
And I wonder, like, who... I mean, like, they have a creative director, obviously, who's involved in these decisions, but YSL also does a lot of heavy hitters, I'm like... Why did they discontinue Baby Doll? Mm. That was such a huge scent of the 2000s. Why would you discontinue it?
I bet you anything it's coming back if it was from the 2000s,
probably.
You know?
Probably. I don't know. Something about it was like so electrically hot pink to me, which is not my MO, but I can still remember it in my brain because my mom had a bottle, which is funny because like, I don't know why she had a bottle because that's like not even her scent either, but...
Right. That's so funny.
I was just like obsessed with that scent and I'm like, bring it back.
Yeah.
Also, the bottle was really cute. It was kind of like a flat diamond shape.
YSL Baby Doll?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
It oh, this like, feels very that. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll eBay that.
Oh, here we go.
I don't need to eBay any more things. I just bought like $150 worth of pearls on Etsy.
What?
Because like I keep seeing these really interesting pearl necklace makers on Instagram. Yeah. And then I'm like, ooh, I want that. And then it's $400. And I'm like, cool. Well, it's not where I'm at the moment.
Right.
But
right.
Maybe I can make something to get like wholesale pearl beads. It's actually like not super expensive, but it just means that everybody I know is getting a friendship bracelet. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So $150 to make one necklace for myself. Yeah. 10 for people I know.
Exactly.
The price is my friendship.
And we are lucky to have it.
Yeah. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Well, after spraying so much of these fucking perfumes, I smell like Prada Paradox and go home, what the fuck this is. I'm wearing 2 cents today.
Whoa.
I know. Very unlike me.
Yeah.
But there's a point, I promise. So.
Did you layer?
No, and yes. So actually this entire apartment smells like what I just sprayed. Sorry.
That's okay.
So not to name drop this brand again, but also I don't care. Kayali just put out.
Oh, I want to smell those so badly.
A scent duo.
Yeah.
And they're unsurprisingly really fucking good.
Yeah.
So it's called the Wedding Duo. And they're both based around a Santal, which, as you know, it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of people love a Santal Sandalwood moment. I celebrate that for them. When I saw this, I was like, this is an unexpected turn for the brand. I don't see Kayali doing a sandalwood, mm-hmm. let alone two.
I could see Mona doing a really interesting take, though.
Well, she has.
Or a very Mona take.
On, yeah, it's exactly that. So it's the Wedding Duo. There is a black version called Velvet Santal. And then there is a white-ish, I mean, it's a clear white version called Silk Santal. So I think it's sort of like
brighter. It's giving Nirvana a black and white.
Exactly. Wait, what?
The Elizabeth
and yes. James. Elizabeth and James.
Fragrance.
Yes.
I remember them.
So it's sort of giving like bride and groom, his and hers.
Yes.
His and his. His and yeah. On my left, I am wearing Velvet Santal, the black one. Can you smell this? Actually, you know what?
I can't really smell it.
Wait, here.
Nice.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. And yeah. I feel like Velvet Santal is a really, it's just like the perfect way to put it. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the bottles on me because it gives you like a little bit more of what's happening with it. But yeah, it's jasmine, white musk. I think there's tea in here also. Mm-hmm. Sandalwood, cedarwood, benzoin. And it's really dark. It is super velvety. And it's like warm and spicy and sweet. I don't, it's just great. And then the Silk Santal is just like, I don't know, it's really creamy. It's very Ooh. Sweet. It's like, I can actually smell this one a little more. Can you get that?
It's much more vanilla-y.
It's very light.
Yeah.
It's the first time I smelled it, I was like, is this their take on Cloud? And it's not, because it doesn't have that electric, like styrofoamy quality that Cloud and Baccarat have. But it's just very, this big scoop of cool vanilla whipped cream. And it's so creamy. It's so beautiful. It's just like puffy and gorgeous.
Like the notes, silk, would you say?
Silk, perhaps. So you've got sparkling champagne, white freesia, pink praline, nectarine, and sugar musk and sandalwood. So it's just very puffy and breezy and sweet. I was gonna say not sugary sweet, but like it sort of is.
Okay.
But in a really lovely way.
There's like, I feel like there's like dairy sweet and then there's like sugar sweet.
It's dairy sweet, yeah, for sure. That's
it.
A really
like
good,
a creamy sweet.
It's a really good way to put it. Yeah. And on my chest, I'm wearing them both because they go together really nicely. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, I'm shocked that Kayali did a great fragrance because they're
consistently good, and I feel like they're getting better and better and more complex.
Yeah, and I feel like the weirder that they get, not that like sandalwood is a weird idea, but I feel like for them, it's an outlier.
The Burning Cherry one, I was surprised at how complex and kind of deep it was.
Mona's not afraid to have a little fucking fun, you know, and it just like keeps paying off.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's really great. I'm going to go back to Silk Santal quite a bit because it's a very me fragrance. Yep. And I love it. I've been spraying it on me. I've been spraying it on others. Like, it's been
I'm just imagining someone coming into your house and you're like,
wait. Yeah. So it's great. It's great. Yeah, you should. You should. Yeah. Sable, what do you smell like today?
I smell like another L'Objet, by which I mean L'Objet, mm-hmm. fragrance called Rose Noir. And I had a little sample of this from their discovery kit that I brought with me when I went upstate for a few days last week. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. And I'm always like surprised because I'm not a floral person and mm-hmm. especially not a rose person.
Yep.
But this is such a unique rose.
Yeah.
It's a not rose forward rose.
Okay.
To me, at least. It's musky and peppery first.
Ooh.
And then there is a velvet kind of dewy petaliness from it. But it almost kind of smells like old school men's aftershave a little bit in like a very subtle way. But then it has this clear glassy rose about it that makes it just so much sweeter and like more compelling. Mm. But I don't know, I've come to really, really like this one.
Nice.
And I remember I really liked their scent, Oh Mon Dieu, but I don't know, I feel like this is a contender. It's billed as a warm spicy, which I'm like, okay, yes.
Yeah. Did they send you those?
They sent me the discovery set.
Okay.
I was meant to meet with,
yeah, same,
someone from the brand. I wasn't feeling well, so I had to skip that meeting. But
yeah, they invited me to the same thing, and I would have gone, but I couldn't. I will say that they have a candle that I really love.
I think they started with candles and the fragrances are kind of on the newer side.
I can't even tell you like what it is or what it's called. I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's the scent wise, it's just sort of like coconutty. Mm. It's not like groundbreaking, but it's great.
Oh, the perfumer for this one is Jan Vanier, which I believe is the same dude who Carlos works with for Arquise.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Our friend Carlos.
Our friend of the pod, Carlos. Okay, the fragrance notes according to Fragrantica are rose, black tea, white pepper, pimento, and moss.
That sounds like you.
Yeah. I think something about like adding moss and pepper mm-hmm. to a rose just makes it so much more interesting to me. Because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of rose scents, they really let the rose shine. And part of me is like, what if?
Yeah.
What if the rose was like the backup singer?
Right.
In this band. And I think you could do a lot of interesting things with that.
I think we talk a lot about the versatility of rose. And I get that like with the right note and the right perfumer, you can pull any note in any direction fine. But rose especially, I'm like you where I don't ever want to wear a rose forward fragrance. But there are a bunch that I have worn with the right blend to appeal to me that is, you know, a new and interesting take on a rose that I love. You think leather, you think pepper, you think bourbon. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways you can pull it to make it something like really dark and beautiful.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone's ever made like a really dark smoky rose. I'm sure they haven't. I just haven't come across it yet.
Yeah.
But who makes us some dank ass rose fragrances? Some weird rose.
Yeah. We have a voice note.
That's right. I almost forgot.
I didn't. I've been looking forward to this.
Hey, just recently stumbled on your guys' podcast, and I really love it. You guys are both a hoot and a half. I guess my question is, do you feel like everyone has the same capacity to smell all of the notes in a fragrance? Or, like, is it a learned skill, or do we feel like it's just something, you know, a gift you have or you don't have? Sometimes I try to pick out these like different notes that are listed on, you know, websites, and it's just like, I'm not really smelling that at all. You know, would love your thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex.
That's such a good question. Yeah. Sable sent that to me last weekend when I was drunk. I've been thinking about it all week, actually. That is such a good question.
I think it's definitely a learned skill. I think you do have to kind of train your nose to pick up things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say that I have an extra sensitive scent. Like some people say like, oh, I have a really sensitive sense of smell. Mm-hmm. But part of me feels like that's subjective as well.
Yeah, because you've never been in anyone else's like
head. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Like some people just notice things more and it's more bothersome. And some people, they're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And yet some people just can't really smell things as much, which has been me in the past like year.
Yeah. Or so. Right.
But I do think that you can train yourself to smell certain things. I don't know if anybody can necessarily smell something and do like their own version of like chromatology.
That's all you.
The thing with the bell jar, and then it smells the thing, and then it picks out all the smell molecules.
Oh, sure.
Gastronomy, chromatology. I don't like it. I'll figure that word out one day. I'll figure it out.
I'm not worried about it.
Anyway, the smell technology.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can do that, but I do think that you can smell certain facets of accords or complex smells. I also think that part of that is also subjective and open to bias. For instance, with the new Hermes, Un Jardin à Saint-Thierre.
Oh, yeah, the one that I hated but now love.
Yeah. And they said, like, oh, this is a pistachio fragrance. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then as soon as they told me that, I was like, okay, I can see where the pistachio is in this. And obviously, I can't know this because I already know too much. But, like, I wonder if they had never told me what it was, what was involved in it, mm-hmm. if I would have picked it out.
I wouldn't have.
I don't think I would have.
No.
Because it's just not that concentrated. But I do think a lot of smell is biased and subjective, mm-hmm. and contextual as well.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so this can go 100 different ways, and I don't mean to give you like a non-answer, but I think that it can vary by person.
Mm-hmm.
It can vary by fragrance.
Yes.
And yes, some of it is learned, and I have learned over the years to pick out things and scents that normally I wouldn't have. But was it me detecting them, or was it me learning to put a name to a note?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to smell something and be like, oh, that gives me a little bit of Hinoki. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think the vocabulary is stunted. Exactly. I think with me, there are fragrances that are a little bit more built to be linear and to have more notes jump out at you. So, yeah, I mean, there are scents that I can smell and think, oh, that's a wood, whether it's a cedar or whatever the fuck, or that's a rose, or that's a jasmine, or vanilla. And then some, as I often say, it's, you know, I can read the notes all day long, but I can't get any of them out of the fragrance. But the fragrance itself as a whole is gorgeous.
Yep.
You know, it is sort of
like
greater.
Like Jasmine Sambac.
Exactly.
What the heck?
Yeah. It's sort of greater than the sum of its parts. Yep. Like, you can tell me what's in it all day long and I can't get it. Yeah, I think it's just really variable by person, by fragrance, by blend. People to us, well, I feel like we've been at it like a billion fragrance events or whatever, and people liken master perfumery to being a sommelier, mm-hmm. where it takes years and years of training and, you know, your nose, your this, your that, to be able to detect these notes and then be able to do them yourselves. And I think we were just told within the last month that there's only like 5 master perfumers right now in the world.
What?
Yeah. Damn. I think they told us that at Givaudan.
Yeah, according to who, though?
Because I think it's like a
certification. Who's a master? Like, do they have to fight each other?
Well, like, no, how does it's that work? It's like a certification they get, like, being a som. There are significantly more sommeliers than there are master perfumers. So I think, like, if we're going down that road, then yeah, it's learned. But we're fragrance enthusiasts. We're not master perfumers, nor is that, like, our trajectory. So I think, yeah, part of the fun of it is learning. But also, it's just not that deep. Because, like, working in fragrance and in beauty in general, but I guess specifically fragrance, you know, there is both in brand side and editorial press releases will tell you, like, oh, there's a note of black amber in this.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what is a black amber versus a white amber? Like, a lot of it's just storytelling. You know what
I mean? A lot of it is storytelling. Like, yes, there are actual ingredients.
Yeah.
It's like baking. Like, you do have to get the chemistry correct.
Yeah.
But
when to differentiate, you don't want to say, like, it has all the same shit that everyone else does. So
yeah, marketing speak is literally that. It's not necessarily true to the formula. Like, mm-hmm. also, fragrance has historically been very secretive about their formulas. Yeah. So you may never know. Also, it's like, oh, we combined these two synthetic ingredients to create an accord of almond. So you won't know what they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And almond apparently synthetically has the same very similar makeup as cherry, as we learned.
Right.
So I don't think you necessarily have to know every ingredient and note to appreciate a scent.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think, like, where I kept landing with this question all week is, I don't mean to say, like, I don't mean to be like, it's all bullshit, just have fun. But it's also just, like, not that deep. It's, you know what I mean? Deep. I think the fragrances is now getting to culturally the point where, like, makeup was 10 years ago and skincare became 5 years ago.
It's getting to that point where now everyone just has to dissect everything.
Exactly.
About it.
And it's like, you don't have to interrogate something to love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Some of it does bear interrogation.
And, well, yes.
For sure.
And half of it is, that's half the fun for me, is digging in. But it's also like, you can just like something at face value.
Yeah. And I guess, like, that's the thing with, like, fragrance is one of those things that for the longest time, I think people felt intimidated by it. So there's still that lingering.
Yep.
And now that it's become so much more culturally relevant, people are like, okay, well, I guess I have to learn something about fragrance now. I'm like, you don't have to. Just like, know what you like. Or, I don't know. Also, not many people consume fragrance the way we do because, A, we get a lot of this shit for free. Mm-hmm. Or I kill so much time just walking around places and like dipping into like stores with scents in them just to smell stuff.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this is like attached to our job. So sometimes it is our job to figure this shit out or, like, you know. But yeah, I mean, you don't have to be an expert in everything.
Yeah.
We're not experts. People call us experts all the time and we push right back. We're enthusiasts. Which makes me... You know, we like this shit, but we're not experts.
The fact that people are so quick to call us experts concerns me that who else is so quick to call other people experts?
Yeah.
There's just there are too many experts. Mm-hmm. You know what? I think we just need, I don't know, fragrance explorers.
So figure out why you like what you like if you want to do that and keep going. But, you know, there's no pressure.
No.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's here for you to love and enrich your life.
Exactly. And if someone tries to like hate you with all these like complex terminology and stuff in person.
Yeah, tell them to get off TikTok.
Yeah, get off TikTok. Or shut the fuck up. No, don't. Sorry, don't do that. Don't listen to anything I tell you.
We're leaving that in.
I get so mad or just like annoyed when people take something inherently just for the joy of it and try to make it this like pretentious, intellectualized thing.
Well, and I think like you've said, fragrance like starts off pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, makeup didn't really, skincare, but fragrance has always been up there.
Yeah.
And
now I'm just like, it's okay to be dumb. I'm very dumb. And that's okay. It's okay to like things and not have to be able to explain in a PowerPoint why you like it or why something's good. And I think that's just like maybe my inner turmoil with the concept of taste.
Yeah. Yeah, like you don't have...
Because like taste is so defined in like a classist way.
Yeah.
Like what's considered good taste is defined by like the wealthy class. And what's considered bad taste is considered, you know, cheap or not valuable. Even though it doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, you don't have to like prove the validity of the thing that you like in order to say that you like it.
Yeah.
My favorite fragrance is fucking Cloud by Ariana Grande. And so is everyone else's, to be clear. But it's like, you're just allowed to like things.
Yeah.
It's not that deep.
You don't have to like things. Especially smells. It's a fucking smell.
It's a smell.
I don't know. Why am I getting like so amped up about this?
No, because it's a good question. And
it is a good question.
Good questions should piss
cause
you off.
An emotional reaction.
Yes. Yes. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
I will still be thinking about this one for a while.
Yeah. It's so funny. The other week I was doing like a little smell concierge session with a close friend of mine.
Oh my God.
And
wait, what does that mean? Not close friend. I know what that means, but smell concierge.
Like he was like, "Oh, I really want to get into scents because you're so into scents, and now I'm intrigued." And I'm always happy to connect people to scents they love. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I was like, "Okay, next time you're over, we can just like smell a couple things, and we'll see what type of scent profiles you like." And the things I was showing him based on what I thought he would like were so different than what he did actually like. And the things he would like smell something would be like, "Oh, that's so sweet." And in my head, I'm like, "No, it's not. That's ISO is super. What are you talking about?"
Totally.
But like, it doesn't fucking matter what I think.
Right.
If someone smells something and they think it smells that way, that's what it smells like to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. He picked the fragrances that I didn't think he would pick at all.
What are so like what?
Issamiyake, the Pour Homme.
That's
the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in a wooden bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
I hate that bottle, but I love the fragrance.
Yeah. I kind of like the bottles.
Do you?
I like bottles that are obnoxiously abstract.
Sure.
I like that just from a design point, but from a functional point is a nightmare.
Yeah.
What else? Alloria Gentle Shower.
Okay.
Mise en Cire Vert Empire.
Okay.
I forgot what the fourth one was. The Vert Empire one, I was like, "You're going to love this. You're going to love this."
Yeah.
Like he did.
That's funny.
I think he's very happy with those selections. And then it's funny, I was like, watching him spray. He does one tiny half spray like under his shirt. And I was like, "Bro, douse that shit."
It's funny. My, as you would say, very close friend.
Yes.
So in my new place, I have this big ass bookshelf of fragrance now that just displays everything. And like I said, it's great because I can now see what I have and everything. And I guess since he and I met, he was like into fragrance, but now he is like very into fragrance.
Yeah.
But every time he's over.
Didn't he like have he wore like Comme des Garçons. I feel like that's very like in crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wore Comme des Garçons Rouge and he wore H24.
Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah, yeah, same. So, I mean, good taste to start. But now, like, every time he's over and like showers or whatever, he's like, "What should I wear?" And half of it is like, "Okay, what do I want you to smell like?" And two, I'm like, what do you like? You know what I mean? Because he's like me. He's pretty easy to please when it comes to fragrance. But it's just, it is, it's funny to play like matchmaker.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's so fun. I love it.
It is fun.
I stomped into the Hermes store in Williamsburg.
Which, the other day. Gigantic Hilarious. Question mark, please.
There was nobody in there but seven employees who had nothing to do. I was like, why are there seven of you? There's literally no one here.
Right.
But I wanted to smell a couple of their fragrances. Okay. The rhubarb one hits so hard.
I think my girlfriend wears that. My Leia, who I work with, she wears, it's the Toscany Red Bottle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice, right?
I want to call that one in, yeah.
Yeah.
If they'll allow me to have it. But I also wanted to smell the H24 Eau de Parfum because it's different than the Eau de Toilette.
Oh, I think they sent me that. You can just have it.
Okay, thank you.
Do you like it?
I like it, but I like the Eau de Toilette better.
It's the original is better.
Yeah. I think the original is better.
And I don't know why. I think the airiness and glassiness that the original H24, I think you need that. Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it, to me, I don't know, that's what makes it prettier, I guess.
Yeah, because it's not a light fragrance, but it also doesn't need to be any heavier.
Something about the transparency was what made it unique, and then I think they just like amped it up for people who like to project smell more.
Sure.
And then it was like, okay, now this just smells like a men's cologne.
I would almost bet you that that's for other markets around the world.
Yeah,
not the US, sure. You know.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I need to get to the Hermes in Williamsburg, but I don't.
Like, well, it was funny because like, I mean, there's seven fucking people there with nothing to do. So obviously they're hovering. They are hovering like gnats, like the gnats of New York City. And they're like, oh, like, what are you looking for? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm just here to smell stuff.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm never mean to retail people because I used to be a retail people.
Sure.
But I was like, oh, like, how long have you been open? And they're like, oh, we're here for a month. This is just a pop-up. And then we're building our like permanent store on the corner of North 6th and Berry. And I'm like, oh yeah, where there's a pile of rubble right now. He's like, yep, that's the one. And again, I was like, why are you doing this?
Why? Like, for who?
For who?
I think it's for tourists.
For what? Yeah, but those tourists don't fucking shop in Williamsburg for Hermes. They don't cross the East River.
I think it's me having lived in Brooklyn for 4 minutes. I think, like,
I have lived here for 13 years.
I think there's I think Brooklyn, and, like, especially where that is going to be a hub for, like, luxury.
Yeah, which I know. And also, the Chanel beauty store is open as well.
I'm sorry. Explain that to
me. Well, that's the thing. I honestly...
Is it open?
Yes, it's open.
Okay.
I just don't... Like, I feel like Williamsburg luxury is like Diaz and Jurga, is like La Labo.
Yes.
Is like the incoming Byredo store that's about to open, apparently. Even Space NK... Well, Space NK didn't work out, actually. No, it's a Diptyque store. But yeah, it's like indie luxury or like niche luxury, not designer luxury.
Because a 300, these things are not inexpensive. Yeah. Like these are $300, $400, $200 fragrances, fine. But that's not a Birkin bag.
No, like it's not a 15,000. How much are they? I don't even know. I'm assuming they're like 15 grand now.
I was just talking to someone about this. To even get on a list to get in the lottery to be considered to buy a Birkin, you have to have already spent $50,000 with Hermes. And that's just so to be for a chance to be considered for a purse. Bitch, get a life. Do you know what I mean? Like, buy another bag.
Wealth is embarrassing.
Wealth is embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
And rich people have no taste.
I agree. In this regard, I absolutely agree. Actually, in many other regards as well. Like, now that I think about it. The things that are like, that's so cute. I'm like, isn't
it?
Yeah. Yikes. But, yeah.
Anyway, shout out to Hermes. Send us some fragrances.
Shout out to Hermes. Please send us fragrances.
Speaking,
send me rhubarb.
Speaking of luxury, I said this before, but I was in the Louis Vuitton store in Hudson Yards Mall for, like, obviously no reason. Mm-hmm. The fuck am I doing there?
Sometimes you just got to dissociate in a store.
Literally.
For the air conditioning.
Yes. They have a really nice fragrance setup where it's sort of like one big long table with all of their fragrances. Mm-hmm. And that was a really fun experience just because the only fucking place you can smell them is in the store.
Yeah.
And we should do that if we're ever randomly in Hudson Yards, which I hope to God that we are not. Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah. I would like to smell more of their scents.
Mm-hmm, me too. Fragrances are beautiful. Bottles are beautiful.
I do love the Dreamcatcher one. A Tuplev. God, I can't say that without gagging on my own tongue. It's probably not even correct, but it's the Dreamcatcher one. Daniela Morosini wears that. She turned me on to it.
Nice.
And she's very much so that girl. So I was like, okay, if you wear this, I gotta smell this shit.
Yeah, and I was like,
okay, this is it.
Yeah.
In continuation of our red flag, green flag episode of weeks past.
Did we do that?
We did.
No.
Yes, we did.
Why did I just pitch the same fucking idea?
I don't know. But now there are beige flags.
Have we done this?
We have done this. We have
not done this.
We have.
What did we call it?
It had a dumb Dr. Seuss name that I thought was clever in the moment, and now upon remembering it, I think is very silly.
Girls, this is humiliating.
Tynan pitching an episode we already did.
It did recently.
Was it recent? It was July. Oh, almost a year ago. July 19th, 2022.
One flag, two flag, red flag, green flag. Oh, you know what, though? No, that was a Q&A. That was for Q&A. Relationships.
Oh.
Which we love to talk about.
Okay.
This makes me feel a little better. Jesus Christ.
Cut all that out.
No, we're leaving it in.
Oops. I was like, why does this sound familiar to me?
Well, the more you know.
The more you know. I do also think that there are some funny fragrance beige flags as well.
Well, take it away. What do we think?
The one that I related to the most was the one I just showed you. Also, okay, like beige flag, for those not on TikTok, is basically just silly, goofy behavior someone does that's endearing. That's what I've gathered from the context, because I will not listen to someone explain it to me in video.
Okay.
But yes, every video is kind of like that. And it usually pertains to, obviously, like relational dynamics. But we're making it for fragrance because this is a smell podcast. Anyway, I think one beige flag for fragrance that I think is really cute is when someone thinks what you would call a mass market scent, when they think it's like super fancy. Like whenever I get complimented when I wear Ariana Grande Cloud. Mm-hmm. And then when I wear like a Killian scent, nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just like say nothing. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay, cool. So no one cares.
Yeah. Great. This was $400. Nobody cares.
I was at a dinner with a publicist on Wednesday, mm-hmm. and we were talking about fragrance and whatever and what she liked and all of this. And she started talking shit on like her best friend or something. She was like,
love people who do that.
No, totally. And she was like, I always drag her because she wears the same cheap celebrity fragrance and I just hate it. And I drag her for it all the time. And I was like, she's gonna get me. What's the fragrance? Yeah. And she's like, Cloud by Ariana Grande. Oh. And I was like, well, I have nothing to say because that's an incredible fragrance, ma'am.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the Sol de Janeiro scents.
People love those.
Even though they're like not inexpensive.
No, they're not.
And I was in Sephora the other day, again, killing time for air conditioning. And they had like, I think it was like Curiosa 40. Mm-hmm. It's a pink one. Yeah. And then I smelled it and I was like, ooh, this is actually quite nice. And again, the freaking Jasmine Sambac. Mm-hmm. I feel like Jasmine Sambac is like what makes a perfume that like perfume girl smell. IMO. That's I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's nice, because it was more like abstract, warm, floral, mm-hmm. sweet than it was like coconut, which they do a lot of, just like straight up coconutty tropical sunscreen scents. Yeah. Like super, super gourmand. Something about, I think, whenever I wear a gourmand, it's always the girls who are like, oh my God, you smell so good. Sometimes the boys. I don't really know that many boys, to be fair, though. She's actually kind of nice, actually. I was like disassociated for a second. I was like,
yeah, you fully fell out of this for like 2 seconds.
I was like, actually, I'm really happy with the fact that the people closest to me are mostly women.
That's true. And also same.
Yeah. It's so comforting just to be friends with girls.
I've always been a girl's girl.
Yeah. Girls plus Tynan.
Yeah. One of our friends, Rachel, got engaged recently and she was like, Tynan, you are coming to the XO Bachelorette. And yes. I was like, yeah, yes, I know. I'm obviously a woman. Like I'm a woman. I was sort of wondering if I'd be invited because there is an XO girl group chat that I'm famously not in. But she was also like, yeah, of course you're invited. And I was like, oh no, to be clear, I was coming regardless. Yes. Like, regardless. No one had a say in this.
Well, we were talking loosely about just wedding guests stuff. And then she was asking, like, what's the protocol on like plus ones? And then as a group, we were just like, oh no, we're not bringing our partners. Like, we're just, it's going to be a girl's trip. Like, that's the rule. The rules are whenever one of us has a wedding.
No, we didn't bring partners to Kara's.
No, we did not, as a rule.
Oh.
We did not get plus ones. And I honestly like it that way.
Okay.
I'm like, look, you guys are spending all your time with this person. And we never get to spend time together.
If I'm traveling, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, once every few years.
Yeah.
So
I know. We got to start getting married.
I don't want to have to share you.
That's true.
With the people you see every day.
Right.
And live with.
Fair.
Anyway, Do you have any red or green or beige flags?
I thought about red flags, but I didn't want them to be like, one, the same bullshit we always talk about, and two, like,
a lot of it is the same bullshit
we always talk about. But I didn't want them to be like weirdly judgy. Or okay.
Yeah.
Just because something's not for me doesn't mean it's not for anyone else. But I do have one. I have a couple, but I do have one severe one.
Say it.
When, and this is sort of specific to maybe perhaps my experience, but not, when I'm in the locker room.
Okay.
With the girlies, and by that I mean men who I don't know.
Strange men.
Yeah. And we're all like getting dressed or whatever. The use of aerosol body sprays has got to be banned by law. And because it's like,
you're like inhaling.
I can't dodge that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that is not all going on your body.
Ooh,
because it's floating. A big cloud of air. Yeah. And I'm sure people say the same fucking thing about me and my little perfume bottles. But it's like, that is going on me. And it's going directly on my skin. And yeah, you can smell it in the air. But maybe
aerosols are more harmful, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but like not even that. It's just like, please don't make me smell like your axe or whatever the hell you're using. It drives me crazy. It feels aggressive and oppressive, and I'm sorry that just rhymed. But even there's this guy that I've seen who uses a Tom Ford body spray, and I'm like, no, that still counts. Like, put it away. I don't care that it's Tom Ford.
Something about aerosol delivery is so aggressive.
Because then it's just on everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like a jet propulsion.
Yeah.
It's like the jet pack of fragrances.
I don't care if it's drugstore. I don't care if it's Tom Ford. Yeah. Get it away from me.
Also, something about like aerosol deodorants to me is like so outdated.
That, also that.
Yeah.
It's so 80s and that? Juvenile.
Yeah.
Both. Neither of which I really want to be.
I feel like it's just like getting over your whole shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just sort of like, bro, put it away.
Yeah.
Don't make me fucking like duck and roll. And again, I'm sure they don't love me spraying cloud in the locker room or whatever, but it's like, that's between me and God.
Yeah. Related to that, one of my red flags is when people shower shame. I know you're going to hate this. Oh. Everyone has their own personal hygiene routines and what they're comfortable with. But I feel like it's like a very, I don't know. Something about it is very germaphobe to me when people are like, wait, you don't shower 3 times a day? That's gross.
Literally I'm
like,
me.
Okay. In the summer, I get it. I will shower twice a day in the summer just because it's fucking hot and sticky. Like I go outside and I sweat and then the sweat just becomes like a sticky layer on you.
Yeah.
I get that. That's for comfort level. But like in the winter when I'm covered up, my freshly showered body on my clean clothes isn't fucking touching anything and I don't sweat
because it's cold. Or leave your house.
Or leave my house.
Yeah.
I've not been touched by outside air. I'm like, why would I shower again? Why? And that's gross. You have showered. I was like, no, you don't.
That's fair.
I'm not even coming from like a microbiome standpoint. I'm just like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
If you don't smell, if you're not uncomfortable, who cares?
I will meet you there.
Yeah. But people get so judgy about it. And I feel like as a former smelly kid in high school, it's just like, shut the fuck up. Don't shower bully people.
Yeah.
Why do you care?
I'm with you and I agree with that. I do love to shower all the time, but
it's just such a chore for me, man. That's why.
That's called depression.
Yes.
I think shaming of any sort obviously should also be banned by law.
Yes.
And I think before you shame anyone, you have to check yourself.
Yeah. I also feel like people who have an inclination to shower shame or hygiene shame are afraid of their own bodies.
I am afraid of my own body actively.
And then I don't know. I start to make assumptions about, things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a vicious circle. Cause I don't want to say there's no other way, but I'm sure there are more compassionate, understanding ways. But I feel that there's no other way to respond to being shamed than becoming confrontational. You know what I mean? So it's this isn't working for either of us.
Like, or just internalizing the shame and then feeling bad about yourself, which is probably worse, honestly.
And you can do both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we should smell shame people.
No.
I mean, I think about the one time where I was on a 7 or 8 hour flight from Paris to New York on a full packed American Airlines flight. And there was a man sitting next to me who had the worst BO I've ever smelled. And eventually there's habituation, you get used to it, but my eyes were watering. It was so bad.
Oh my God.
And he was so nice and friendly. And I was like, please stop. Stop gesticulating, please. But even then, I was like, well, we are on a flight from Paris to New York, so...
Yeah.
It's very European, but, that's Jesus fair. Christ, man.
That's fair.
I was, kind of looking around me of, does anyone notice this? And, nobody was saying anything, so I was like, okay, I think I just have to fucking suck this shit up.
That's true.
And deal.
And deal. One of my other red flags, and this is borderline, I don't want anyone to feel bad, a also no one gives a fuck. A red flag to me that just always makes me feel a little like, ugh, is guys that wear anything by Creed or Creed adjacent.
What is Creed adjacent?
But Creed to me, and I know this is unfair to generalize, but this is what I get from them, that they're just oppressively hyper-masculine.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, shock, that's not really my vibe anyway, but, and I understand mm-hmm. that if a man is looking for a fragrance, they're going to look for the masculine brands. If mm-hmm. they don't have a huge knowledge of what's out there, got it. But there's something about Creed that scares the shit out of me. And
like they're going to disappear you.
If that's on your body, I don't need to be anywhere near you. I don't need to know what you're about, because you're definitely wearing hair gel. You're definitely wearing like a brand new designer belt.
I think that about like Dior Sauvage.
Yeah.
But, those types of scents.
But I think you have to go one step further in terms of acquiring Creed. Yeah. It's like Sauvage, you can sort of fall into. You can be at the store. Fair. You can recognize it, whatever.
It's so ubiquitous.
Like, yeah, Creed, it's like, no, you really had to want that. And
you had to spend some, you got to drop some dough on that.
Yeah, all of it. It's giving bottle service. It's giving sports car, mm-hmm. which is great. But all of these things together, I'm like, I don't like dudes like that. Mm. And this sort of, it's again, just the oppressiveness of it all.
I feel like you're also around more men who have intentional sense. I feel like most of the guys I know, like, don't have intentional sense.
Wait, what guys?
Meaning, like, I don't know. Guys who don't necessarily wear fragrance. I don't really know a ton of guys who wear fragrance. And when I meet them, it's my life's purpose to make them wear fragrance. If they want to. And not like, forcing a
I guess working, like, at a gym.
Yes, you have a job. I don't.
I have a job. Yeah, okay.
True. You having a job means that you're exposed to so many things I'm not.
Yeah, but so many guys that I work with are soft boys. Fair. You know what I mean?
Really? Have you gone
on creative? Yeah.
Okay. Well, so it's like on creative.
On creative and in marketing, it's all like soft boys. And then the guys who like run the show or whatever, definitely like what you would think. It's a fucking sausage fest. But the guys in my immediate circle at work are, they're like Aesop or the Lavo guys.
Yeah. Okay. They're got that it, got guy. It, got it. Yeah. That fucking guy.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's funny that a couple of guys I work with either wear, like I said, Aesop or Lavo. But once, you know, once word gets out that I'm do what I do and I'm into fragrance, like, oh, I'm wearing Lavo. And I'm like, I know what you're wearing. Yeah. I promise you, I know. Like, it's fine.
I already know. Like, I smelled you from a mile away.
Right.
Ooh, one green flag of mine is when guys wear non-gendered scents.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
And when I say non-gendered, I mean, like, I feel like something like an Aesop is, like, coded. It's, like, boy-coded.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where it's not actually for boys. Anybody can obviously wear it, but, like, it's, you know, what a lot of men are like, yes, this is for cool guys.
Cool. You're right. Aesop is really boy-coded.
It's boy-coded.
It?
Yeah. Same with Lavo. Lavo, to me, is kind of boy-coded. I think it's the aesthetic, where it's, like, not,
I was gonna
threaten
say
your masculinity.
I was going to say that, too, but I think they sort of hit me right down the middle.
They do now. But Santal 33 to me is low-key boy-coded.
Oh, really? It's so girl-coded to
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah. But Lavo in general, I will give you is more boy-coded, for sure. For sure,
yeah.
To me, what hits right down the middle is Dias & Durga.
Yes.
I love them. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of critiques for them. But I think they are a masterclass in not gendering.
Yeah.
And just doing it well.
True.
Because everyone wears Dias & Durga and no one worries about it.
That is true. I feel like Byredo is girl coded, even though it's even though it's like gender neutral, obviously.
Totally.
But like boys who wear Byredo, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do love a man who wears Byredo.
Even like Killian. Killian's a little girl coded to me. But I think that's just because the parfum scents get more lip service.
I agree. It's funny though, because I feel like Killian runs the gamut of traditionally feminine and traditionally masculine.
Yes.
And then everything really in between.
Yeah. Like, I love when a boy wears a vanilla.
Oh, same. Obviously. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this shows me that you're comfortable with your, butt like, stuff. Gender identity.
sorry.
Maybe that, too.
So gross.
Maybe that, too.
Send me to jail. I've been wearing a lot of Ariana Grande Mod Vanilla lately, and that shit does not get old. That's such a good... That's a grower, too.
That is a very good scent.
I really like that
scent. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's, like, my comfort scent when I'm, like... The world is overwhelming. I need to be in a white cloud, and a white cloud where nothing can hurt me in my head. And I'm like, okay.
We're seeing
Vanilla Mod.
We're still seeing a lot of vanillas, and we will be seeing more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a unique, cool vanilla.
It's a cool vanilla.
Architects Club. You're right.
Yes.
Another great, unique vanilla.
Yep.
It's like a green, almost mineral vanilla.
I think it's meant to be like a little tobacco-y, like a library, like mahogany bookshelves. It is. It's gorgeous. I kind of wish that I had asked for that full size instead of Indigo Smoke, now that I think about it. Yeah. But Indigo Smoke is also very, very good.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I had a green flag. A green flag to me. And it's more just that I think it's like cute and endearing is when a guy wears just like a fully random niche scent. And I don't mean like a Brooklyn luxury scent. I mean some shit he found on vacation in a little like fishing store. Yeah, it could be like a solid perfume that smells like that. I don't even care what it smells like, but like when you find something that sort of just feels very unique to you, and whatever that means, like the time or where you got it or this or that, and it's like it could be expensive, it could be not, it could be some random fucking thing, but I love someone who just wears something that they found, they love, they don't care about it, and you know what I mean, it's sort of their like signature. It's like, it's some random brand that I found in Kentucky, you know, like
that's cute.
I love that. It is cute.
That's very cute.
Yeah,
there are some interesting brands that of course I'm forgetting now that I found in Hudson. Dara and I were upstate like in the fall, and we were just kind of traipsing around Hudson on the main drag, and there were some clothing boutiques that had really interesting scent brands that I forgot now, but they were kind of cool. Ooh, a beige flag for me is when people who I don't know super, super well, but we're hanging out more, we're becoming friends, we're like on the acquaintance to friend pipeline, and they'll be like, oh, I wore a fragrance because I knew I was gonna hang out with you today. I love that so much. And I don't even care what it is, it's just the fact that they like thought about me when they were getting ready. Like, oh,
it is cute.
It's so nice.
Your brows look really good.
Thank
and
you.
And really high.
I hate to say it, it's the clear boy brow.
Really?
Yeah. I also am surprised. But also, it's like, so old.
You didn't like get them done or anything?
No. Like, I'm obsessed with those brow lamination products. Elf makes a really good one. It's a dupe of the Anastasia Beverly Hills one.
I didn't like love that.
But because they're glossy,
yeah,
it kind of leaves a glossy outline on your brows, which I don't love. Also, they don't hold. I don't know what it is about my brows, but they just like don't hold.
No, the Anastasia one doesn't hold.
Okay, cool. So
and
just
me. And I knew it wasn't like fucking a glue stick, but I did try to do like a really, this is on me. I tried to do a really quick brow block a minute ago, just the ends where there's not a ton of hair, and be like, oh, this will be quick. That did not work, girl. But
it doesn't hold.
It doesn't hold. And I'm like, what is the point of this?
The NYX one is pretty good. It's called Brow Glue, and it comes in like a tube.
I've seen that.
And it's like pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
The Milk Makeup one is pretty decent.
Yeah.
I like that it comes with a spoolie brush. It's again not just a pot of clear goo. But yeah, for whatever reason it was like, let me try this crusty ass tube of Glossier Clear Boy Brow, and I'm like, oh damn. Sometimes certain products like brow gel get better the older they are because they like solidify a bit. When they're too new, they're like, too viscous or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's just polymer, you know.
Yeah. So now that it's like dried a little bit, I'm like, ooh.
Did you see that
they made bigger ones?
Yeah, I think that's so cool. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I hate boy brow, but like, it's cool that they just put more out for no reason.
Yeah. Sometimes when I look at the amount you get in a makeup product that's liquid, like a lip oil, and it's like 0.3 fluid ounces, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
We also have to stop with lip oils. They're glosses. Yeah. Get over it.
Just call it a gloss.
Just call it a gloss.
I've noticed a lot of these sheer lipsticks coming out that are just like very shiny, heavily pigmented tinted balms. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This is why makeup's confusing.
On the flip, most of the shiny transfer proof liquid lipsticks that I have tried are truly that, and it freaks the shit out of me.
I don't think we need that.
I'm fine because they work.
Aren't we like concerned with like forever chemicals or something?
I'm not. I'm concerned with being hot.
I'm just like, do I really need this to not come off? I don't know. And also, they always do come off eventually, and when they do, it's the most disgusting, crusty way.
Yeah. If a product does what it says, then it's fine.
Red flag, green flag, beige flag. I feel like we each had one of each.
Yes.
We've done one of each.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm actually really curious what people's thoughts are about fragrance, red, green, and beige flags.
Same.
And I'm very curious to know your beige flags, because I think we need a little bit more hee hee ha ha in this world.
I love that we did this whole episode and I still don't know what a beige flag is, but but yes, tell us yours.
I also think that part of what makes it good is that you don't quite know it.
Yeah. Right. It's truly not that
deep. It's like you know it when you know it, and you know when you see it or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway.
Please tell us your flags.
Yes.
Of any color. Tell us in a voice note. I think that would be cute.
That'd be cute. Yeah, the voice note today, as always, was great. So
I really like that one. Please. You can find that feature at our website, smellylater.live, where you can also find our merch and, I don't know, any other information on this podcast that you just listened to. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.